Before we get into talking about the 13 archetypes of Survivor, David versus Goliath at the Merge, I want to take a moment and thank a sponsor. Those are friends over at True Car who have some useful tips that you might not be aware of, like how a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean the interior of your car. You can also remove the excess weight from your car to improve its gas mileage, and you can also place a keychain remote right underneath your chin to increase its range. Those are weird tips, right? I think we can all agree on that. But here's a tip that you might not know about. True Car can help you get a great deal on a used car as well. What? Yes, that is right. True Car is not just for buying a new car. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used. And with True Car, you can see what other people paid, so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. And you'll also be more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience when you connect with a True Car certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesperino here with some bonus coverage here in Survivor David versus Goliath. We have got a lot to get to today, and of course that we are going to start things off here. We are going to be checking in with my good friend AJ Mass from ESPN to talk about the 13 archetypes of Survivor. And then later in this episode, we're going to be joined by the First Lady of Podcasting, who is going to give us some of her quick takes on this Survivor season as we head into the Survivor Merge. But first, let's bring in the man who has invented the Survivor archetypes, and now it's here to share his patented system of how the Survivor season has broken down. Please welcome the author of How Fantasy Sports Explains the World. And yes, it's hot in here. The great AJ Mass. AJ, how are you?
Natalie? I'm doing good, Rob. How are you?
Very good, AJ. Happy to be back together to talk about everything going on with 13 players left heading into the Merge. You couldn't have drawn it up more perfect.
I could not have. The timing worked out very nicely. We don't always get the Merge at the right time. In fact, sometimes we don't even see a lot of tribes heading into our podcast here, which makes it a lot more difficult. But I think they've done a really nice job this year of the editors showing us a little bit of everybody. So I think this might be, you may not agree with me, but I think in terms of process, this is one of the easier seasons to at least formulate an opinion on people.
Yeah. It's been a good season. I think that really for this exercise that we're about to do today, and I'll have you set up what we are doing for our new listeners, a 20-person season, 13 people at the Merge. I mean, you can't draw it up better for what we're about to do.
Yeah, and casting, I think, did a really good job as well. Everybody here who has left, people who have gone by the wayside, there were a bunch of characters this season. There weren't a lot of drips, a lot of swings and misses here. So I think no matter how it had shaken out, I think we would have had a fun time here in the 13 archetypes.
Yeah, and your mention of the drip reminds me of a clip that I have that I haven't gotten to play. But I have a new Survivor nickname for myself, I think.
Coffee and the Survivor Drip.
Yeah, Coffee and the Survivor Drip. I think that's going to be my new morning Survivor podcast.
Wow, is that so? That'll be on before the Wiggle Room and after the B&B.
Yeah. Okay, AJ. So we have new listeners all the time to the podcast. People stumble onto it. Okay, so this is somebody's first 13 archetypes. Can you tell us what the 13 archetypes are?
Sure. So basically, way back in the day when I was writing exclusively about fantasy sports, I came up with this this theory that every group of fantasy sports leagues, fantasy sports owners, has the same personalities in it if it's going to succeed long term. They're just roles that any group of people naturally fall into. I kind of branched it out to any group of friends, any office setting, and eventually I mapped it out onto reality television shows such as Survivor. These are just personality types that you recognize in your day-to-day life. I have found that when you get a group of people together, they tend to fall into these roles, some people are leaders, some people are followers, some people are idea creators, some people are just yes men. You know, there's all different types of personalities, and a system works best, and as a result, a season of reality television works best, is when you get to 13 people, you can easily map out into these 13 personalities, and certain personalities have a better chance of winning at the end. It doesn't mean they're going to. A 16 seed can always upset a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. In fact, it's finally happened. I've been saying that for years, so we finally have evidence that UMBC can do this. Sorry, Virginia. But it's just a predictive model in terms of your chances of success, but it certainly is by no means guaranteed.
AJ, I saw you tweeting about that 16-1 upset to Nate Silver this morning.
Yeah, Nate Silver gets a lot of criticism because people don't understand math. And when, you know, he says somebody has an 80% chance of winning an election, just because they lose doesn't mean he was wrong. It could have been an upset. And I think people don't necessarily understand percentages like that.
Okay. All right. And I know in the fantasy sports industry, you also get a lot of that where, hey, you said this guy was going to do good. What happened?
Yeah, you get that. You get a guy who scores 20 points in a week, and that could be good and be number one week, but this is the week where everybody scored, so he ended up being the 20th ranked quarterback this week, and you say, you idiot, he finished 20th. Yeah, but we said he'd score 20 points. No, you said he'd be the best. So, you get a lot of people who live and die by this stuff. It's just fantasy sports, people.
Okay. All right. AJ, so we are going to go through your archetypes, and then we are going to continue this tradition where we are going to do our draft, where you and I are going to draft our teams of 6 people. Each one person will go to Ghost Island and not be drafted, and then we will have our results tallied at the end of the season to keep up that tradition as well. Okay, so 13 archetypes coming up. AJ will reveal them in the order of likelihood that the archetype will win the game, not necessarily the player. And AJ will also set up what each of the archetypes are as we go along.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
AJ, what do you recommend people do? That people, I think, sometimes will write their own archetypes. They say, I know who the fresh meat is going to be. I know who the ninja is. And they like to play along. Do you want to see what people are doing also? Or they can just go ahead and, file these their own archetypes someplace where you never see it?
No, I'm absolutely happy to discuss. I'm at Twitter at AJ Bass. Happy to discuss it. The theory is mine. The rankings that I'm going to give here today, or the assignments, are mine. I'm not wrong because it's my opinion. You can have a different opinion, and that's fine. This is just another way of looking at the game. It's supposed to enhance your enjoyment. There's no boring archetype here, so no one should really be all that upset.
Yes. Okay. Well, of course, being called boring is the biggest reason that anybody should ever get upset, right?
Absolutely.
That's right. Okay. And we learned that lesson the hard way, AJ. Okay. So here we are with 13 archetypes. What is the 13th most likely archetype to win the game?
All right. The one that is least likely to win the game is, as you said, fresh meat. And fresh meat is essentially the one person left in the cast. You know, certainly at the beginning of the season, there are lots of candidates to fresh meat, and they usually will get picked off, several of them, because these are the people you just wonder, why did they bother applying? Why did they bother getting on the plane? what were they doing out there? In the extreme case, Fresh Meat has no idea what they're doing. They've never seen the game. You know, they're just a clueless.
Yes. And AJ, maybe as we go along here, I could give the archetypes in the Survivor Rotten Coconuts Fantasy Football League of who fits this archetype in the Survivor Fantasy Football League that I play in.
Oh, fair enough. Go for it.
Okay. Although there's only 12 people.
Yeah, don't criticize my new friend Dalton Ross, though.
I don't know. I already know who he is. Okay.
All right. So, yes. So the Fresh Meat is, like I said, they seem to be maybe out of their depth or just by comparison. I mean, if everybody is, if we're talking about an all-star season, everyone's, played into the final three and you're the one person who just barely made the merge, then you're going to be Fresh Meat just by basis of that. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a bad player. It just means you're probably the least experienced or the least familiar, the most casual of the cast, perhaps.
Yeah, you don't really know the game. We could say it. With the person there, they're the easy mark. They don't know what they're doing. Okay, that's right. Somebody.
Absolutely. And all right, so I am going to probably, of the 13, I'm pretty sure this is the one that's probably going to be the one that is most questioned. I'm guessing. But I really think that Kara has no idea what she's doing out there.
Okay. Interesting. Why?
Well, first of all, I did read some of the profiles that CBS put out for these contestants for the season, and I always get a little nervous when a female contestant says, "I most like Parvati," mm-hmm. because that's just that means, yeah, I watched once and I know Parvati. Like that's the name that everybody gives as a sign that they really don't pay attention, because they never give anything more in depth than that. But she also said that she wants to be Figgy, but without the showmance.
Mm-hmm.
And then proceeds on day one to get involved in a showmance.
Well, it's hard to be Figgy without the showmance.
Well, yes, there's that too. I just everything about her screams, I talk a good game. But I really don't know what's going on. And I haven't seen anything gameplay wise. I mean, yeah, she knows she's in a game, which is more than some people do on this show. A lot of Fresh Meats don't even realize they're playing a game. Like, I just don't want to lie to anybody. We're not in that situation here. I just don't think she has, I don't think she has the experience in terms of knowing what's going on compared to the rest of the cast here.
Now, to go back to her fellow tribe mate, Jeremy, talked about her in the relationship with Dan in the showmance. And Jeremy said, hey, I think that Dan has a showmance and Kara has a strategy. Isn't she potentially playing the game, trying to manipulate Dan? We saw her then when after the swap, she did get blindsided in the vote where Natalia went home. But then we saw her trying to throw Alec under the bus. I mean, I feel like that maybe this is a season where there is no good Fresh Meat, but I feel like she's doing stuff. Steven Fishback has winner upside.
I agree with you. I agree there is no pure Fresh Meat here. I think Jessica, who was she, right? I mean, she could have been Fresh Meat, certainly.
Oh, yeah.
But she got out. So I just think that all of the people here, I haven't seen anything that puts her in any of the other categories. I don't think that the showmance thing was a strategy. I think she kind of just said, hey, the showmance thing is pretty cool, and I can use it. But, she knew it was a bad idea and yet didn't do anything to dissuade it at the time. It's a weak argument to be sure, but I don't think anyone else fits this role either. It's like process of elimination here. Sometimes when you're making the sausage, you're left with Kara at the end or something like that.
Okay. That's a ringing endorsement for Kara. Okay. All right. So Kara, she is the same name as Dan's dog. We'll see what happens when she gets back together with Dan at the merge. She is the Fresh Meat in the Rotten Coconuts Fantasy Football League. I will say the Fresh Meat is Sarah Lacina.
Fair enough.
She made a trade for she traded away Christian McCaffrey for Ryan Fitzpatrick right before Ryan Fitzpatrick got benched the first time. And then she dropped Ryan Fitzpatrick before Ryan Fitzpatrick came back to play. She's 1-7 and probably going on 1-8. And she says next year she'll be better. So she's a fresh meat.
Well, I mean, she has proven that second time around she does a lot better.
Yeah, she does a lot better the second time around. That is well-established canon. Okay, all right. Number 12, AJ, is the ninja. Who, first off, what is the ninja?
All right, well, the ninja, on some level, is usually the victim of the editors. Your purple Chelsea, if you will, your purple Kelly. This is just someone who, if you... were asked to list everybody left in the game, you'd get the first 8 or 9 people out right away, and then you'd have to think for a little bit, and you'd finally come up with 2 or 3 more, and then you'd be like, there's somebody else, and I don't know who this person is. They're not getting screen time. They're not involved in any of the big decisions, and you just forget that they're on the game. And it's really because this is an editing choice usually that this person doesn't have a chance to win, simply because by this point of the season, if you haven't seen them at all, it's hard to imagine them going forward.
Okay. All right. So there is a ninja on this season. Who is it, AJ?
Well, you know, after episode one, I probably wouldn't have said this because she was front and center quite literally in episode one, but up until last episode, where the heck has Allison been?
Yep, Dr. Allison. I mean, I think that's probably the chalk pick, even though Randy Bailey says she will be the winner of this season.
And these things can certainly happen. I don't know anything really about her gameplay. I mean, yeah, I mean, last week she kind of woke up, and we you know, with the tribes being so small and segmented, certainly spending so much time on all three tribes, we got to actually see her kind of talk to other people. And you know, we got a little bit of an insight. But now with the merge coming, I wonder if she'll once again fade all the way back into the background, and we might not see her again until her boot episode.
Okay. Dr. Allison as the ninja. I mean, I don't know how much more there is to say, but I do think that there are better days ahead. I think that she was sort of under edited in the pre-merge because she only went to the one tribal council. She didn't really play a big factor in that vote. I do think that it's not necessarily like this will be like a purple Chelsea. I think she could have a breakout after the merge.
Oh, I agree. I think there's definitely potential there. This is not a situation where not only have we only heard a little bit from her, and that little bit has been boring. I mean, you know, when she's been on screen, she's popped. It's just circumstance sometimes plays into this.
Okay. All right. I have to abstain from one of the roles in the Rotten Coconuts League because we only have 12 people. So I'll say there is no ninja. I'll say everybody is visible. I'll skip the ninja.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough.
All right. AJ, number 11 is the cheerleader. Who is the cheerleader in your archetypes?
So the cheerleader is one of two things. Either it is the tribe mother or father figure, you know, the one who's the caretaker of the group. You know, you're Dawn Meehan, someone who is always like, putting it out there that I'm here for you, you know put your head on my shoulder, I will comfort you. Or conversely, it's someone who is just anything for the team. Go team go, we have to stay strong as a tribe, forget the other tribe, it's our tribe, and our tribe go our tribe. So those are the two possibilities here. I think this year there's a clear Goliath strong, go Goliath, we love Goliath. Goliath, Goliath, Goliath person.
Okay. Who you got, AJ?
Well, that would be someone who is very, very chilly in search of a jacket.
Yeah.
Angelina.
Angelina, the cheerleader.
She has shown no signs of being anything but a party loyalist, as it were, to put it in Tuesday terms.
Yes. Now, even though she voted against Natalie, who was Goliath strong.
Absolutely. I think the cheerleader isn't necessarily locked into going all 10 of us are going to the end, you know, if there's one annoying person, you have a chance to get rid of that annoying person. You know, sometimes addition by subtraction is the smarter thing. But I think a lot of her original alliances are the ones she's going to stick with, as opposed to reaching out across the aisle and you know, trying to mix things up. I think she's got her tribe, she's got her people, and that's where she's going to roll.
Okay. Angelina, the cheerleader. Now, are you feeling like that she is going to be a cheerleader that will defy the low ranking, or do you feel like that being 11th out of 13 is about where you would rank Angelina heading into the merge?
Well, you know, normally what happens is that the cheerleader gets dragged along because they are so, you know, good natured or, you know, like I said, motherly. They tend to be taken along because they're not seen as a threat. That's certainly not the case here. And I don't think, I mean, we've certainly seen some animus against her. You know, she's not universally liked even by the people in her alliance. I think because of that, I think this is actually a good spot for her. I mean, she could very easily win this game. She could also be the next one to go. Thank you. Now I sound like Nate Silver. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Cheerleader. I will say that the Rotten Coconuts cheerleader, 11 out of 13 here in AJ's rankings. I don't know in terms of most likely to win the fantasy football league, but I will say it will be this week's recap guest, Kellen Bechtold. She does not know what she's doing, but she's having fun. She's excited just to be part of the league. She is the cheerleader of the Rotten Coconuts so far.
Excellent. Excellent. She was the marriage of convenience in her season.
Yes. She's made some terrible trades. And I told her in my text messaging with her getting ready for Thursday that we will do a full breakdown of all of her transactions at the very end. Don't get nervous, people. Yes, she was marriage of convenience number one with Desiree was her marriage of convenience, which I guess Desiree felt like that marriage was a little too inconvenient.
Indeed.
Doesn't always work out.
That's why, you know, marriage of convenience often leads to a divorce of convenience.
Yes. Okay. All right. Here we go. What is number 10 on the list?
We have the loose cannon.
Okay. Loose cannon. Okay. Who's the loose cannon? Well, what is a loose cannon?
I think the name pretty much describes it. Someone who you never really know what they're going to do. Now, this could be a personality loose cannon where it is, okay, you know, if you say one bad thing against them, they're going to scream at you for the next 30 minutes and vow to kill you. I mean, that has happened in many seasons. Mm-hmm. It could be someone who, you know, just is such a flip flopper that from vote to vote you don't know where they're going to be because they these perceived slights are just there. I mean, we were lined up. There is no doubt that the unforgettable one, Natalie Cole, was the loose cannon on this season. No ifs, ands, or buts. But she is not here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to look at the cast and see which one is pulling faces left and right and getting frustrated and possibly going to go off and shoot some squirrels because you took my back and bothered me and you cut the cowboy, Liz.
All right. I wasn't expecting that kind of reaction about Elizabeth.
Two things in life I don't like. Lazy people and it's stupid people.
Okay, the loose cannon.
Did you see the look on her face when she said stupid people?
Yeah, she does not like stupid people.
My goodness, that was almost like a second personality coming out there. It's like, yeep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So, loose cannon, Elizabeth, do you think that she can rein it in? Do you think that maybe if she is able to sleep on the split bamboo, get some good rest, because AJ, I know how much it changes me to not get a good night's sleep. We changed the clocks ahead an hour, and I was the most miserable, even extra more miserable at 5 a.m. on Sunday morning when my kids thought it was time to wake up.
Are we about to slip into one of these podcast mattress commercials? Thank goodness.
I mean, no, we weren't going to, but if anybody is so interested in improving a mattress wasn't my problem. If anybody wants to check out the Lisa mattress, you can go to robinswebsite.com/sponsors for more information on that. But the mattress wasn't the problem. The problem was that my kids can't tell time, and they don't know about setting the clocks back an hour.
You know, you went off on that tangent there. I just kept waiting for Wanda to go, "What's up right there?" No, we're not doing that, folks.
No.
We're not doing that. Yeah, no, I know. This is the advantage of having a 13-year-old who sleeps till around 11 in the morning regardless, is that that's no longer an issue for me. So I'm thankful on that. I don't like moving the clocks, but sleep is important. Yeah, I think when Liz gets to, again, we're headed to the merge. There's going to be more people. You can avoid the people you don't like a little bit more. There's a little bit more escape valves there to kind of let off some steam and not have to just deal with the same three or four people who are really annoying you.
Okay. All right. That's our loose cannon. I am going to say that the loose cannon in the Rotten Coconuts League, I am going to say, is Mr. Rodney Lavoie Jr. I think that we actually have a lot of loose cannons, but I have to pick one. So I will go with Rodney. Sends a lot of crazy trade offers, making a lot of crazy trades, making a lot of moves, talking a lot of smack on the Survivor Fantasy Football group, WhatsApp group. So loose cannon, Rodney Lavoie.
Yeah, fair enough. It's not his damn birthday, though, is it?
I'm not sure when it is. I think his birthday is in the summer, because I think that's when they filmed.
Oh, there you go.
All right, AJ, tell me about the narcissist. Nobody ever likes to be the narcissist.
No. It seems to be a negative thing. However, there is a compliment in being called the narcissist. I mean, we're talking about someone who's usually very, very good at challenges, a challenge beast, someone who is very physically fit, someone who usually spends a lot of time with as little clothing as possible to kind of just like really show off their body, potentially interested in the showman's route. Very, very high opinion of themselves. And, you know, that's not a bad thing. Confidence is good. The problem is that the narcissist also doesn't really see any flaws in themselves. And therefore, in a game where you have to kind of interact with other people, and perhaps if you have this blind spot that you don't think you're doing anything wrong, the hashtag blindside will soon be on your way.
Okay. So, interested to know whether we are talking about somebody who is an elected official or somebody who is now a shadow of his former self.
I would say we're talking about someone who is kind of more of a blue collar personality who kind of anointed himself as king of all showmances and surrounded by the beautiful ladies, perhaps has several idols in tow.
Yeah, okay. And yes, we're talking about Hot Cop.
Hot Cop himself, yes. Mr. Dan.
Mr. Dan, narcissist. Okay. See, I feel like that the elected official would embrace the title of narcissist more.
Quite possibly, but we have a different elected position for the mayor.
Okay. All right. Tell me about Dan the narcissist, AJ.
Well, I just think in general you can see it happening where there is this undercurrent, and there kind of has been all game of just the other people in his tribe always saying, you know, we really need to get rid of him. I mean, he's put a target on himself. It would have been there anyway, because obviously once you get past the initial shelter building and winning the first few challenges stage, you know, there is going to be that target. Certainly, the narcissist is always prime candidate for merge boot. It's even more so the case here because, you know, he thinks he's in a really good spot. He's got the idols. I don't think he's going to play them. I think we're looking at a complete situation where he thinks he's running the show. He'll get his Kara back. And I just think he's not long for this game.
Okay. All right. Dan the narcissist. We'll see where it goes for him. Could the narcissist get caught looking at his own reflection and go out of the game with two idols in his pocket?
Very well could. I'm just making sure there's an echo there. Oh, my Greek mythology knowledge. Hilarious. I think there's a very good chance of this. I think, the advantage the narcissist has is that he can win out in challenges. And so, you know, the best laid plans often go awry when you're all set for that blindside and suddenly the challenge is who can hold up the most weight for the longest time. And suddenly, you know, he wins in a runaway. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's when the scramble happens. And that's usually how narcissists end up surviving.
Okay. Number 9, the narcissist in the Rotten Coconuts League. I think I have to go with a guy who loves looking at his own roster, how great it is. He's so proud of it. He's a guy who is now 6-3, so proud of his team. And I'd have to go with that classic narcissist, Jeremy Collins.
Absolutely.
Classic narcissist. What was the season that he got really mad that you made him the narcissist? Was that the first time he played or the second?
I think it was the second. Yeah, because he was very cocky the second time. But yeah, he was not happy about it. I'm like, oh yeah, it was because he said to him like, hey, you won $1 million. Shut up.
That's why he has to be the narcissist. Okay. Okay.
Exactly.
AJ. All right. Number 8. You have the old reliable. Tell me about the old reliable.
Okay, the old reliable, what you see is what you get. Very competitive in challenges, not necessarily because of you know, we're not talking Ozzy here. We're talking, you know, someone who just does well in the challenges. They're athletic, but, you know, they're a good old boy usually. It's usually the guy with the cowboy hat. It's, you know, Rick, Ranger Rick. We're talking about someone who just kind of, you know where they are. They're honest. They want to play the game the right way. You know, what you see is what you get.
Okay. All right. Are we going here with Cowboy Carl?
Of course, yeah. Cowboy Carl is the perfect old reliable. I think there has been nothing about Carl that has surprised me.
Even that he doesn't like know-it-alls?
Well, why is that surprising? I just think I get Carl. You know, I look at Carl, you know where his alliances are, you know when he doesn't like you. He's very readable. And that's very important in this game to have someone that you can trust to act in a certain way, even if it's against you. That trust of knowing where they're going to lie on any decision is certainly something you can use to your advantage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You get dragged along a lot.
Now, I do feel like that this is not a great combination for the old reliable to have a brand new game twist in his pocket. I feel like that's something that in the hands of a Captain Loophole or the Mad Scientist may be better served.
Well, yeah, anything that's going to change the way the game is played is certainly better served by being in someone who's really into the game and understands the intricacies to that, you know, letter of the law kind of level here. I like the fact that there are limitations on this new power. I'm okay with you trying new things like this. I'm not as down on it as some people because it's one of these things where you can easily use it in the wrong way. It's another chance for you to make a mistake. It's not a Yule type power where, you know, after the votes are read. So I'm actually fine with this. And I'm interested to see. I don't think it's going to be used properly. I don't think it'll necessarily add anything to the game this season, but I like using a power until it becomes broken, and I think this might be a while before it breaks.
Do you think, though, in the hands of Old Reliable, that it is likely to get played?
I think it is likely to get played, but I think it's likely to get played in a position where it wouldn't have mattered anyway. I think what's great about this power, to me, is the check on the Wendell and Dom having all the idols last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that when Dom is sitting there going, well, I'm going to play this one for you, and I'm going to play this one for you, and Wendell's like, oh, and I'm going to play mine for you, and because they all knew we still have one in the bag that we can use next week, and so we don't have to worry about it. Like, this is a way for them to like get cocky and then suddenly be blindsided by this and say, oh yeah, you know, you thought you were safe at this tribal because you had one. Well, boom, idol void. You know, I think that's where it is, and I like the fact that it's something that they're trying here. I don't necessarily like reactive trying to fix, you know, the fact that Wendell and Dom were so dominant, but I like the idea that it gives an option for a player to use this power properly and at least make it interesting in what could be a pagonging otherwise.
I actually think that the idol nullifier is probably a little bit more of a response to the previous season where somebody found three idols in a row and ended up, sweeping their way to the final four, where then they made a fire and there was no way to stop this person. Luckily, in the Rotten Coconuts Fantasy Football League, there has been a way to stop our old reliable, and that is Mr. Ben Driebergen. Only 3-5. Only 3-5. 3-5, and then after yesterday's action, I think that he is going to be going on 3-6. But he sets his lineup every week. You can count on him. He's old reliable.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I said, I don't necessarily think Carl is going to use it properly, but if, you know, because we know Carl and Dave, he seemed to be close, that perhaps they can scheme together and maybe something interesting can come of it.
Okay. All right. AJ, let's talk about, or maybe not talk so much about, the marriage of convenience.
Yeah. Right here is where the first or the number two slot, the beta, if you will, the B. To the other, to the A. I'm sorry, I don't mean to trigger you.
Are you an A or a B? Is this an A or a B? Let me know.
Well, I thought you were a B, but now I know you're an A, so I'm going to say you're an A, but I'm going to then switch it. Never mind.
Is this a trick?
There's a helicopter up there. Where did that come from? So the marriage of convenience is a partnership between two people. They kind of vote as a block. They could be a showmance. They could be a bromance. They could just be two people who got stuck together, last two people on their tribe, Matt Singh situation, if you will, where, you know, they're suddenly there they are. They have to work together and maybe they didn't plan it, but this is a partnership formed by under fire, a marriage of convenience. The beta of the pair slots in here basically because they typically don't have any moves that they can talk to that are separate, and so they have a hard time if they get it to the end with their partner of winning, and whoever is perceived as the alpha has a better chance, and that's the reason for the split here. We don't discuss this person at this point because usually discussing the person will kind of give you a hint as to the identity.
So we'll come
of the
back
one.
To it. We'll come back to this. Yes. Same thing for the Rotten Coconuts. So let's talk about our idiot savant in the Survivor season. Okay, AJ. Talk to us about the idiot savant, because I think people hear the word idiot and they say, oh, this must be the stupid idiot of the season.
Yeah, and that's not what this person is. The idiot savant is someone who makes decisions, actively is playing the game. That's key to the idiot savant. This is not a floater. This is not someone who's just sitting there hoping that nobody notices them at tribal council. Please, Jeff, don't look at me. This is someone who is making moves. And when you and Steven start talking about the moves, you don't understand why they made the moves they made. They make no sense. When you know, fans are watching the show, they smack their heads like, why are you voting that way? Every decision they make seems to be the wrong one. And yet they keep moving up in the pecking order of their alliance. It seems to work. Somehow they have made it to the merge. They have made it to this point and will probably make it a little bit further even though you have no idea why these moves they've made have worked.
Okay. All right. So who is that person here in Survivor David versus Goliath?
Well, there haven't been a lot of moves so far that made no sense. But if there is one, I still, for the life of me, do not understand what Alec did.
Okay.
At all in doing that first flip. Mm-hmm. And it made absolutely no sense. And by doing so, he puts himself in jeopardy, but he thinks he's in a great position, which is even more so going to empower him to make that next stupid decision, which I see coming very soon. And it very well may work. It's just one of these things where, you know, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And that's what happens with the Idiot Savant a lot of times.
Okay. All right. Are you feeling good for our Idiot Savant? Will the Idiot Savant be able to keep things going in the right direction after the merge, AJ?
I think it's possible early. I think simply because, you know, we are so evenly split down tribal lines where it is one of these situations where, you know, he's put himself in a pretty good position to be a potential swing. You know, there's like Goliath strong and there's hey, we're the Davids. Let's fight the Goliaths. And then there's him who's already proven himself to be, you know, someone who can flip. So I could see him making the plea to the Davids and saying, hey, you know what? Let's do this now. And it might tip the scales at 13. It might be able to tip the scales at 12. But, you know, once you prove yourself untrustworthy on both sides, he's not nearly as clever or as charismatic as he thinks he is. And he's not making it much further than final 10.
Okay. All right. Idiot Savant, it's kind of like Inspector Gadget where, you know, doesn't really know what he's doing. Gadget, he's sort of like, has an idea, but then it really ends up that, like, you know, Penny and the dog really did everything.
Yeah, it's not a Mr. Magoo situation where he's just completely blind and just happens to stumble onto the girder as it's being moved by the crane to prevent him from falling to his death. It's not that situation. But
yeah.
Nevertheless, at the end of the episode, oh, Alec, you've done it again.
All right. So Idiot Savant in the Rotten Coconuts. This tough to come up with. I'm going to side more on the Savant side of things. And I'm going to say Chrissy Hoffbeck. I will give her the title of Savant in the Rotten Coconuts League. It has not gone great. Only two wins on the season, but she's made some savvy moves. Went with Matt Burita right before the season started. Picked him up for $27. Everybody was thinking Alfred Morris. She zigged when everybody zagged. Has made some savvy moves along the way. So Chrissy Hoffbeck will be our Savant.
Yeah, she's the type of person who will bench Drew Brees against the Rams and suddenly start someone else who scores 50 points. So.
Okay. All right. She seems to be, right on top of this 49ers running game, picking up Raheem Mostert, picking up Marquise Goodwin. So I wonder if she's a Niners fan. She had drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. So she might have lived and died a little too much with the Niners this season.
I think a lot of people in San Francisco can say that.
Okay. All right. I thought she was from Jersey, so we'll have to get to the bottom of that at some point. Okay. All right. AJ, tell me about Captain Loophole.
All right, Captain Loophole is the person who knows the game, very, very, very aware of what's going on in terms of Survivor history. They're not a newcomer. They didn't just watch the one set of DVDs when they were in sequester. They know this game inside and out. Possibly been watching since Richard Hatch hit the island. We're talking about your Cochrans. We're talking about, you know, your Max Dawsons. The people who like know this game. So sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but they're not gonna be fooled by any twists. They're gonna be prepared for them. They're gonna be strategizing for them. The only thing that holds them back is that while they're incredibly savvy with the rules, they're usually quite awkward in terms of interpersonal relations. And that, you know, in terms of that aspect of the game, that's where they have the problem. And if you can't form those personal relationships and all you are is someone who potentially is smart and strategist, it's sometimes hard to fulfill that winning play because you're stuck.
Okay. All right. Is this person, do they have a lot of frenetic energy?
I would say there's a lot of unnecessary crying going on.
Oh, okay. You're going the other way. Okay. So,
yeah.
Gabby, this is our Gapton loophole.
There you go. Ring that bell. This is obviously we know when you're talking about the Christian Gabby alliance there, they formed a bond and everything, and they're both very loophole-y in their demeanor. But Gabby's social awkwardness is really holding her back in this game. She hasn't been able to have any breakthrough. We've seen recently where, you know, she's been in tears and just, you know, completely unable to connect with anyone outside of someone who's her fellow nerd, her fellow geek. Mm-hmm. And that's what's holding her back in this game. I mean, I think she understands the game just as well as anyone, if not better. And if she can just get over that personal hiccup, you know, the Hannah Shapiro of it all, you need to just break through. And once you break through, you have a great chance at winning. It's just sometimes that breakthrough doesn't come at all.
Okay. Do you personally see good things for Gabby after the merge?
I do, because she's not a threat.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not a physical threat, and you haven't developed these relationships, you know, it almost like she backdoors into a really good position, because she is, she seems very nice. She seems very, very friendly, just awkward. And people are not going to put her on the forefront of get her out of here. They're going to say, oh, she's not going to be able to argue her way out of a paper bag. Look at how, you know, nervous she is. I mean, like I said, when it came down to Hannah's season, I thought Hannah had the best tribal council in terms of her arguments. It just, mm-hmm. you know, the perception was just too hard to overcome. And, you know, obviously other revelations that came out certainly won the day. But, you know, there's definitely a situation here where if she gets dragged to the end as a potential goat, that suddenly, you know, if it all clicks and she's able to argue her case, I think she can win over some people.
Yeah. And I think it'll be very fascinating to watch Gabby in the post-merge game, because that, you know, I think we see this in sports sometimes where they give a player sort of like a vote of confidence, or they tell the player, okay, you're starting now. And then we see them sort of like settle into a groove where, you know, that there's been sort of I don't even remember like which Mets that they've I think they actually tried this with Dominic Smith and it didn't really work. But you're not going to the minor leagues. You're here. You're the starter. You're going to play every day. And sometimes they settle in. And I wonder with Gabby, if she, now that she's through the portion of the game where if we lose this challenge, I'm probably going home. Now she has a little bit of security in the game when we get to the merge, because I think it's pretty unlikely that she'll be one of these votes. Could she settle in a little bit?
Yeah, I think not only that, but I mean, she's going to be going back in a merge situation where she can at least, you know, touch base with a few more people who, you know, are familiar faces, and she can, you know, she could just breathe a little bit. Like I said, right. It's a situation where, you know, she's looking at the numbers going, oh my gosh, it's either Christian or me, and they don't like me as much as they like him.
Yeah, but it's
like,
not Christian.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, now there's other options. She's like, okay, well, they still like him more than me, but we can still vote out that jerk, you know? So I think, I think she can feel a little bit more confident in herself making it through the cut. And I think that's where, you know, the momentum can start to build there.
Right. She's not one challenge stumble away from being out of the game.
Exactly.
Anymore. Okay. All right. Let's talk about Captain Loophole in the Rotten Coconuts League. So AJ, this is the person who before the season starts, is looking at the scoring and sees that Marcus Mariota is projected to have 45 points in week one. This is, you know, there must be something off with the quarterback scoring and we need to change that setting. The person who's on top of the waiver wire, who's putting in bids to keep everybody honest and, you know, is trying to make a trade right before the week's action. And even though they were only 3-5 going into week nine, they pulled out a win against the best team in the league. And I would say to say Captain Loophole is Rob Cesternino.
How did I know you were going to say that?
Yes. On top of all the angles and all the settings in the league, way more than anybody else who's and has had a lot of bad luck in this league. But I do think has been pound for pound really on top of the ball and hasn't had to rely on ripping people off in trades that don't know what they're doing or anything like that. Has really just been had a really good season, and their record has not reflected that.
Yeah, if only you hadn't drafted those Jets. But
I didn't really. Did I draft Robbie Anderson? Maybe I think that's the only Jet I drafted, and then I cut bait on him very early on. Okay, AJ, let's talk about the X factor. What is the X factor? The best singer?
Yes. So whoever is most likely to impress Simon Cowell is the X. No. Yeah. The X factor is the person who is in some way, shape, or form different from everybody else. Now, this can come in many different ways. It could be perhaps if this is the person who's already been voted out of the game and somehow Redemption Island back in. That would be something that would make them different from everybody else. It could be if they're the only winner on a returning season, or the only returning player on a returning player season who's still in the game. Could be that they're the only guy on an all-girl tribe. They could be, you know, someone who has a physical disability or something that makes them stand out actually physically, someone who's 70 years old and everybody else is a kid. Like there's something usually that makes one person necessarily different from everybody else in terms of something that is of no fault of their own. It's not something that is related to strategy or anything. It is something that is either, you know, obvious to everybody or a physical asset or something, but because they stand out, it does put them in a unique situation than everybody else.
Okay. Would this be the mayor of Slamtown?
It would not.
Oh, okay.
It would not. You might think that. No, I would say, and this is one of those rare cases where, this is someone whose obvious quirk is the fact that they were a last minute replacement and weren't supposed to be here.
Ah.
I think just listening to Davey and the pregame stuff and knowing that he was not supposed to be on this season, came in late. He's already coming into this game as an outsider. He wasn't, you know, even if they're not allowed to talk to each other, he's not being seen around. No one's making the eye contact or assessing him. And suddenly he shows up. And, he, you know, I've seen the interview where he said, like, you know, hey, because I came in late, I'm just going to go for broke. I'm not even supposed to be here. So might as well just play harder and make some big decisions. And I think it's impacted how he's approached the game. It's made him a much more interesting player, I think, than he would have been had he come in under normal circumstances. And I think because of that, and because he's playing in a way that's maybe not his normal style of play that he would normally do under ideal circumstances, that it's actually helping him to succeed, or at least, you know, to think about the game in a different way. He's gotten out of his own box.
Okay. Let me check with Davey what he thinks about. Davey, what do you think of being the X factor?
And I'm like, oh, hold on, pump the brakes.
I don't think he likes it.
reminds me of a contestant on Project Runway, good old Anthony.
Okay, so that's interesting. And I thought about this a little bit about, you know, sort of that this was sort of like a once in a lifetime spur of the moment thing of, hey, Davey, want to come play Survivor? Is he playing, you know, faster and looser than if he had, you know, 6 months to prepare for going out there?
I mean, you know, I think he is. I just think he strikes me, and I could be way off on this, you know, but just judging from watching him, he strikes me as the type of person who could have been a fresh meat, who could have been a very reserved character. And I just think because he wasn't stuck in his head as much as a lot of other people could have been by sitting there and waiting and waiting and really thinking about what he was going to do, that he's playing the game from the get-go a lot more relaxed than other people. And I think that has done him in particular very well.
I mean, they called him like the day before they left. I mean, if, you know, these stories are accurate, and said, hey, do you want to go play Survivor? I mean, if somebody called me last night and was like, hey, do you want to go get coffee on Monday? I'm not sure I could do it. I'd be like, boy, I would love to, but I don't think I could just drop everything and go get coffee. That's too crazy.
I mean, I almost didn't show up for this podcast, Rob.
I kid. I don't know. That's a big ask. I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you. But I regardless of how he performs and how he reacts to it, I do think that from the perspective of the other players, his experience is definitely just going to be different. And it's they all know it because they didn't see him go through the casting process, and they didn't see him at, you know, at the hotels and the interviews and the sequester. And so I do think puts him on a different playing field than everybody else at the start of the game. And that's kind of what the X Factor is.
Okay. All right. X Factor in the Rotten Coconuts. It is a league where there are 11 Survivor players. There is one man in the league who is not a Survivor player. Thus, he is the X Factor. And that would be the man who I think has the best team, who did lose yesterday, though. You can't win them all. But that would be Mr. Dalton Ross. Has Patrick Mahomes and Todd Gurley. You would think that he'd be completely unbeatable, but he did suffer a loss yesterday. He was not undefeated, but he does get his third loss of the season in week number 9.
What's the dilly, Jay Silly?
What are you gonna do? Okay, all right. Let's get to our top 3, AJ, and ultimately a top 4, because we'll talk about the other half of the Marriage of Convenience. Talk to us about the Mad Scientist.
Okay, so the Mad Scientist is pretty much your Tony Vlachos. It is the person who is going to never be content with any situation, always plotting, always scheming, always doing whatever they can to get that one spot better than where they are right now. I have an alliance. I have a solid 2 here. I have an alliance over there. I need 3 more alliances, and they all have to have very catchy names.
Okay. I know where we're going with this one.
Could I have telegraphed that anymore? Yes, we are talking, of course, meow, 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 meow.
Yes, Mr.
Nick himself.
Nick, the Mad Scientist Wilson.
Absolutely. He is a plotter. He is a schemer. Even when he's not plotting and scheming, you get the impression that he is. I know way back in the early episode when when everyone was giving their stories and their sob stories and what makes them motivated to be here, and he told his sob story, I half expected him to get into the confessional and say, I made that up, because he just comes across as a mad scientist, as someone who's always trying to work the system, always trying to work people, and always trying to prove that they are the smartest guy on the island.
Okay. AJ, could the mad scientist continue to work his magic in the post-merge game?
Yes, as long as notes are not compared. I mean, it's a lot easier on the Survivor Island to avoid exposure, especially because you have these tribal alliances where a lot of times people don't interact with the other tribe and realize that you've reached across to the other tribe, and, you know, versus the Big Brother house where usually at jury time of the game. If you're not a really good player and, you know, there's only, you know, eight people left in the house and, you know, you have to talk to everybody because there's like two rooms you can go into. Usually if a mad scientist is going to get exposed in that situation, if they don't have the complete lockdown on the game, the Boston Rob treatment, as it were. So I think Nick can survive for quite a time here, especially as long as there are other obvious targets that you can kind of take all of your alliances and say, you know, one by one, like, yeah, let's get Dan out. Yeah, let's get Dan out. Yeah, let's get Dan out. And it becomes this game of telephone rather than this game of, you know, he's always telling me what to do. Yeah, he's always telling me what to do. He promised me final two. Yeah, he promised me final two. Like, that's the death knell once the underlings start talking to each other.
I do wonder how much Big Brother Nick has watched, where I know he is a Survivor super fan, but I'm not sure if he has the Big Brother back knowledge as well.
You know, it's the naming alliance thing is
I'm torn.
I don't know if I like it or not. I mean, I like it in terms of the fact that I like the fact that we can call these things by names. And it's not always like trying to force a portmanteau in there or to try and what do we call this thing? You know, if they come up with it themselves and it's organic, it's fine. But it's when you get into these, hey, I've got a great idea for a name. Oh, no, I don't like that one. And they spend 20 minutes thinking of it, like, you know,
the whole Big Brother of it all
that I don't like.
Yeah. OK,
it should be organic.
OK, it should be organic. All right. So the mad scientist, I am going to go in the Rotten Coconuts League guy. He's all over the place. It's been working for him, so far. He has, the second best team coming into, week number 10. And that would be, a true mad scientist, Mr. Joe Mena.
Interesting.
Classic mad scientist. Classic mad scientist.
Yeah, absolutely. You're Tony Vlachos light.
Okay. Let's talk about the marriage of conveniences, and I'm a little lost on who we have left. So I guess if I think about it, maybe I can put it together. I know we have not talked about Mr. Mike White, but I feel like you've taken away his marriage of convenience partner, so I don't think that it could be him. The mayor of Slamtown is also out there. But I'm not sure that who he would be married to conveniently. But then we have Christian as well. So I feel like any of these guys could potentially be the diplomat. But considering the fact that we have not seen any interaction between Mike White and Christian, and I don't think that Mike White and the mayor of Slamtown will be our marriage of convenience, I think that you've made the marriage of convenience the mayor of Slamtown and Mr. Christian Hubicki.
The comptroller of Slamtown. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. A city council, a whole system of government formed in front of our eyes here. Once the two of them got together, it is the unlikeliest of partnerships. There seems to be genuine friendship going on there from the mayor of Slamtown. This is not a situation where he seems to be pandering to Christian and just saying, yeah, I'll play along. They tend to really like each other. That's what it looks like to me. And Christian has come out of his shell in a way that I didn't think he was going to when faced with all these Goliaths and the interaction there. They're fun to watch. They seem like they are forming a partnership that could last into the game a decent ways. I mean, certainly the mayor ain't going to be beta.
Mm-hmm.
No way, shape, or form there. But I do think that it's a mentor-mentee kind of situation here. It's, you know, if they hadn't been put on the same tribe together, then this wouldn't have happened. But that's where the convenience part comes in. It's an unexpected pairing. They're working together to the point where Christian's ally, Gabby, is like, oh, Christian likes Slamtown John more than me. And whether it's real or not, her perception there, it seems to be that Christian is going to be enamored with the mist of Slamtown John.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I just think the two of them, you know, this relationship that they've founded here in this split drop your bus tribe with the shuffle, it could last into the merge and well deep into the game.
Okay, so Christian, I do feel like that he's down kind of far in the power rankings here at number 6 in your archetype rankings. John, the mayor of Slamtown, he is all the way up at number 2 in your power rankings. AJ, you don't follow the professional wrestling, do you?
I do not. I mean, when I was a teenager, certainly I did. And just a little bit into my post-college years, because my friend Brian Gewirtz was one of the writers for the WWE. So I just touch base every now and then. But I certainly have no idea who this guy is.
Who is your all-time favorite WWE superstar, AJ?
I was a big Sergeant Slaughter fan.
Sergeant Slaughter?
Indeed, I learned how to do the Cobra Clutch and would oftentimes, perhaps foolishly so, use it on people who annoyed me.
Wow. Okay, got to be careful. Got to be careful. You give people a bad back like Pat or Elizabeth.
Ah, shut up, Gomer.
Yeah, very important to split your bamboo after being put into the camel clutch.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Camel clutch is Iron Sheik. Cobra clutch is
Cobra clutch. I'm sorry. But it's
Finger clutch is correct.
It's the same move, though, right?
No. The Cobra clutch is like a wraparound arm bar that cuts off the carotid, whereas the camel clutch
it's like a sleeper.
Is kind of like under the chin, pulled back, kind of a reverse Boston Crab.
Yes. Okay. I know the camel clutch. It was the Cobra clutch I was unfamiliar with. Okay. AJ, marriage of convenience in the Rotten Coconuts League is, of course, the ultimate marriage of convenience. It's Brett LaBelle and Chris Hammonds. Hard to say who would be the alpha, who would be the beta in the league, but I will say that Chris Hammonds, who has been forgetting to set his lineup, somehow he's gotten to 5-3. Don't know how he's done it. Maybe a better candidate for the idiot savant, but I will say that Brett LaBelle, he will be the alpha, and Chris Hammonds is the beta.
Fair enough.
There you go. All right. Finally, we have the diplomat. Only one person left, Mike White. Tell us, AJ, about the diplomat, Mike White.
Well, I think the diplomat in general is the person who is typically well-liked. I mean, you know, you can't be a diplomat and be making enemies all over the place. Someone who is able to go from any conversation to any other conversation and kind of have an inroad, have someone they can talk to who will at least hear them out. And will, you know, oftentimes, you know, back up, you know, not necessarily push their own view and just say, okay, I'll go with the consensus here. I just want to make sure that we're all doing the same thing. You know, he's the most David of all the Goliaths by far.
Yeah.
And as such, it's really easy for him, I think, to relate with the Davids, even more so than he did with the Goliaths, but because he was on the Goliath tribe, you know, he's in there as well. But, you know, he wouldn't make the move to get rid of Natalie without making sure that it was cool with Angelita. He's not someone who's going to do that, but at the same time, he's going to form a Rockstar Alliance, you know, with Nick. So I think he's the type of person who is just going to go with the flow. And yeah, it's not something where he's going to make bold moves. It's not something where he's going to like have this really crazy plan that comes together. But in terms of the diplomats, you know, it's a long way to the top if you're going to rock and roll.
Yeah. Are you a fan of the Mike White films and Amazing Race stint, AJ?
I like School of Rock. I thought it was a good film. Mm-hmm. I can't say it's like in my have to watch every time it's on the air. But yeah, I mean, you know, my son is in the band, so certainly we've watched it and enjoyed it. Plays the drums, you know, I liked him on Amazing Race too. So you know, he certainly didn't offend me in any way, shape, or form. So yeah, did I need to see him on Survivor? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But I don't dislike him. I think he recovered very nicely from his, first episode's idol search, that excitement that hit the ground running situation. But he also was smart enough to realize, I need to put on the brakes and make sure that Natalie remains a bigger target than I am. And it certainly paid off in the long run there.
Okay. And by having him as the diplomat, that would make him number one in the archetypes most likely to win. Are you buying or selling Mike White this high?
I'd probably sell, but it's more because of the fact that people do know who he is. People do know he does not need the money. Whether it's true or not, I mean, people always need money. When you have your coach Jimmy Johnsons, when you have your Jeff Kents, your former athlete types, when you have your, Lisa Welchels, who the famous people who go on the show, I think are going to have a hard time wherever you slot them in because of that. People are just not necessarily going to vote for them in the same way that they would someone with a hard luck story.
Okay. All right. Then in the Rotten Coconuts League, AJ, that I'm going to say that the diplomat here is our commissioner, a great diplomat, the man who put the whole league together, and that would be Mr. Dominic Abate. He's been in a lot of bad spots in terms of a lot of shady trades in this league. There are some people that are really pushing for the power of veto to be used. He's tried to turn things over to the league. What do you guys think? Should we veto this? Should we keep it? What do you guys want to do? It's a tough spot to be in, but he's handled the job admirably. That is why he is the diplomat.
Yeah, and I would say that if you are in a fantasy sports league and the commissioner of your league is not the person you consider to be the diplomat, you are not doing it correctly.
Yeah, he's been very fair, and a lot of big personalities and a lot of survivors that are up to shenanigans. And so it's an unenviable task. OK. All right, AJ, there we have it. So let's review what we've learned here today, and then we'll get into our draft. We have our fresh meat. That is Kara. Then we have our ninja. That's Dr. Allison. We have our cheerleader. That's Angelina. We have our loose cannon. That's Elizabeth. We have our narcissist. And that is Mr. Hot Cop Dan. We have old reliable. That's Carl. Doesn't mean he's old. Just means he's reliable. Then we have our marriage of convenience beta. That's Christian. We have our idiot savant. That's Alec. We have our Captain Loophole. That was Gabby. We have our X Factor. That's Davey. We have the mad scientist here. That's Nick. We have our marriage of convenience alpha. That is John, a.k.a. the mayor of Slamtown, and our diplomat. And that is Mr. Mike White. Okay. AJ, was there anybody from the pre-merge that you had a spot reserved for them on any one of these archetypes that you were very disappointed to have to scramble and change things up once they were eliminated?
We had enough time, I think, because, Jeremy probably was going to be the mad scientist. I was disappointed because Natalie, like I said, Natalie was textbook loose cannon. And so between those two, I thought this was going to look a lot different than it did. Let's put it that way. I mean, if Lyrsa had been in, Angelina out, I don't know. It would have thrown things into complete disarray, certainly. But I think usually these things tend to settle in the right spots.
Okay. AJ, now we will do, as we have done for many seasons now, our fantasy draft, where we are going to talk through our draft. And AJ, just to reset all of this, the great Randy Neupel, who is such a huge asset to so many different things we do on the podcast, the Wand Off in particular, that he has pulled together the scoring for last season, as he has done for many seasons. And it was a squeaker last season. It was close. Ultimately, it was 66-58 in my favor, and it was very close. I had Wendell and Laurel on my team. You had the diplomat commissioner, Dominic Abate, very, very tight and much tighter than it normally is.
Yeah, you know, well, and it was a much tighter vote than it normally is. I think a lot of times we've gotten to the point where it's down to the wire, and then we get that 10-0 or 9-1 vote, and that kind of usually tips the scales.
Yes. The, you know, big scoring factors that we have in our league, it is 2 points if you win immunity, 1 point to move on, and then 3 points for making the final tribal council, but then a big bonus of 3 points for every jury vote to win. So Wendell did rack up a lot of points there, ultimately getting 6 votes at that final tribal council.
And also the point for playing the immunity idol, which he also did quite a bit.
Yes. Okay. So just an 8-point spread, maybe the closest of any of these leagues that we've played in. Overall, it has not been a success story too much for Mr. AJ Mass, because in all of the times that we have done this exercise, it looks like that AJ has only won 3 different times, and AJ has not won a season draft since Survivor Co. Wrong.
What could go wrong from there? You know, maybe I just need motivation. You know, if I was playing for like a wombat hat or something, maybe.
maybe. So the overall rankings, going back to Big Brother 15, 11 wins for Rob, only 3 for AJ.
I am a courteous guest.
But if you won the next 8 in a row, we would be back on even footing.
Okay, well, every journey starts with the first step.
Yes.
Yes. I'm just going to start running like Morgan on Fear the Walking Dead. And
so, look,
I'll get there eventually.
1 foot in front of the other, and then we'll go from there. Okay. So, AJ,
exactly. We
will this will be a snake draft. You will have the first pick overall. We'll try to avoid the embarrassment in which that I think that Sarah Lucina went undrafted in the Survivor Game Changers draft that we did. So we'll see where we go from there. But AJ, you are drafting first.
I am drafting first, and so I will hopefully just by virtue of
and also,
his relationship.
Let me just set up that I think this may be the most wide open draft that we've ever done here on Survivor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The casting did a great job this year. Absolutely. I think we have a lot of potential winners in this batch here.
Okay. All right. AJ, please take it away.
Well, you know, you got to win competitions. You got to be in a decent position to not be the first target out of the gate. So I just have to kick things off with the mayor of Slamtown.
The mayor of Slamtown, number 1 pick for Mr. AJ Mass. Okay. All right. So that would be Johnny Mundo goes number 1 off the board to AJ. All right. So I will then say, okay, give me with my first pick overall, I have to take Christian. I feel like that he's got winner upside, could go the distance. Give me Christian with my first pick overall. And then with the third pick overall, sort of torn between 2 different people. And I will say then, ultimately, I will go with the person of these two that has an idol. Give me Davey with the third pick overall. Christian and Davey, my top 2 picks. And hopefully the other person I'm thinking of gets back to me later on.
Christian and Davey?
Mm-hmm.
I hear Davey and Goliath. I just think of the Claymation cartoon. Gee, I don't know, Davey.
Okay.
All right. I'm up for the next 2. Oof. It is.
How many oofs?
Why? It's wow. the Supperstein is over, so I will say 1 oof.
1 oof.
1 oof. All right. I am going to go with my girl, Gabby.
Okay. Gabby goes number 4 off the board to AJ Mass. Last pick
and
of the second
I
round.
Am going to I'm just going to bank on people having bigger targets, and I'm going to go with Elizabeth.
Why is she Elizabeth?
I believe that was mentioned on the B&B.
Okay. All right. So Elizabeth, why Elizabeth at number 5 overall?
I think she has the potential to win a few challenges, and I just think that she can hold it in enough that she'll be overlooked for the next 2 votes, just enough for perhaps her to be in the majority, and then she can ride it for a bit.
Okay. All right. So I have picks at 6 and 7 here. Okay. I was hoping that Nick would get back to me, and he does here. So I will take Nick here at 6 overall, and I'm torn between 2 people here, but I don't want Randy Bailey to be upset with me. You know, I'm already on his bad list. So I will try to hopefully make things right with Randy, and I will take Dr. Allison at number 7.
All right. That's Dr. Allison, not Lawyer Allison, mm-hmm. Colin Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I get
Did
the next
Colin Stone
2 picks.
Say she was a lawyer, or he was mocking that people are referring to her as a doctor?
Oh, this is quite contentious that he was doing the list of the top lawyers to have ever played on the game and completely misapprofessioned people. It was horrible.
Did he say
quite
that
the train wreck?
Did he say that Allison was a lawyer, or he said that other people were lawyers when they weren't?
Other people. Other okay. people. Dom just kind of like let him roll with it, you know?
Classic Dom. And walk right Classic into Dom. It.
All right. So I get the next 2 here. Well, I am going to say, assuming he's got 2 idols, assuming he doesn't get blindsided, I mean, it makes sense to go with Dan here and just hope for the best. So I will take Dan.
Okay.
And I will take Mike White.
Mike White goes to AJ Mass at number 9. Okay. All right. Feeling very good about this draft, because a lot of people that I was nervous about not taking have come back to me, and I will take my winner pick from before the season. Give me Carl at number 10. And now I have
Carl.
So, you know, that Survivor can get Carl. The Walking Dead cannot. All right. So give me Carl. And then I have one last pick. So I have one more person that is going to be on my team. You have one more person that's going to be on your team. And then one person is going to get undrafted. And just to reset, we have Angelina, Kara, and Alec. Those are the people we are going to see here, and
indeed.
Yeah, this is a real tricky spot here. So who do I think is going to potentially get to the end out of Angelina, Kara, or Alec? I feel like of that group, I feel like that maybe Kara is the one that could have the longevity. So I will go with Kara here at 11.
Okay. Kara for you, which leaves me with the dubious honor of picking between Angelina and Alec. I think Alec has a real good shot at going out this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think Angelina could go out this week, but probably survives this one, so I will stick with Angelina.
Okay, Angelina for AJ, and then poor Alec. Off.
Not welcome at the Survivor finale.
F it.
Not welcome in our draft.
Yes, he will go to Exile Island. Maybe he'll find an idol nullifier. So, all right, AJ. All right, tell me about your team. Johnny Mundo, Gabby, Elizabeth, Dan, Mike White, and Angelina. Are you feeling good? Will you be able to reverse the curse this season?
I hope so. I think Gabby has dragged along to the final three upside. I think Angelina could be, she's not going to win type goat that gets dragged along. Obviously, Johnny Mundo can pass a lot of laws and legislation that says I win every challenge. So, and Dan's got two idols. So as long as he doesn't get blindsided, I think I have a good solid base here from which to potentially challenge the likes of your squad
to work with. Okay. And my team, just to reset, it's Christian, it's Davey, it's Nick, it's Dr. Allison, it's Carl, and it is Kara. Kara K. All right. AJ, well done. I think we had a successful archetypes podcast here today.
I think so. I think it went well. I think nobody got hurt. No one had to get medevaced, and that's always a sign of a good podcast.
That is a good sign. Okay. AJ, what else is going on for you these days?
Oh, well, in addition to, of course, my usual sports endeavors here at the Worldwide Leader, also have a couple podcasts that you guys can check out.
You podcast with Mike Bloom, but you are right there with Mike Bloom in terms of being a podcast juggernaut.
I would not go that far, but I do what I can. I do what I can. Yeah, Mike and I have a podcast all about movies called The Hamster Factor, where, there's a bit of an age gap between us. So there's plenty of movies that he has never seen before that I have.
And you're a millennial and a Gen Xer, a David and a Goliath.
One might say.
Yeah.
One might say. A ghost island and no, that doesn't work. Check that one out if you want to hear all about movies of all types. You know, we go horror, we go drama, we go time travel, we go documentary, like whatever it is, we discuss it. Some good stuff there. Also, I have a trivia podcast called Beat My Guest.
Mm-hmm.
It is tough trivia where I have a guest in my hot seat. I ask a whole bunch of questions and you don't have to get them all right. You just have to get more than my guests. And if you can, try and beat them.
Okay. All right. So the listener is playing along and trying to beat your guest.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. You can't really beat survivors in challenges as you're watching that show. So it's a little different take.
Okay. All right. And what else, AJ?
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
That's about it.
All right.
I'm hanging. I'm enjoying life. I'm in the helicopter going off to make movies.
Yeah. All right. AJ, such a treat to get to catch up. Of course, you could follow the great at AJ Mass on Twitter. AJ is very receptive to your feedback. Unlike some of the other guests we have on the show, you're always, chatting it up with the listeners.
I do what I can. Yeah, I'm always happy to discuss as long as it remains civil in tone.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to discuss pretty much anything. I'm an open book.
Okay. Speaking of books, check out AJ Mass's books on Amazon.com. Yes, It's Hot in Here, all about mascots. By the way, my children are, they love Mr. Met. They want to hear all about Mr. Met.
Awesome. Just keep them away from Gritty.
And I was showing them videos about how Noah Syndergaard stole the Philly Fanatics go-kart. And they really, they love that also.
It's all in good fun. It's all well and good, but don't hurt the mascots, people. Don't do what happened to the Air Force Falcon this weekend, who almost had to be euthanized.
What happened?
I believe Army played a trick on them, and it's an actual live bird, and mm-hmm. they like buried him in a box with a whole bunch of things, and he almost didn't survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not a good look.
Of course, AJ Mass, also, you could check out How Fantasy Sports Explains the World. as well on Amazon.com. AJ, are you excited for the Brody Van Wagenen era of the Mets? Or do you think this was too crazy?
We'll see. I think you're down on it.
You sound like you're like, this is crazy.
It's more of my disdain for management that is still the same management. So way at the top. It all starts at the top.
See, I think, though, if look, you can't change, you know, it's not like you can vote the Wilpons out or anything like that. I think that they are. It is what it is. And I feel like that if anybody is going to be able to, you know, have influence over them, I feel like that Brody Van Wagenen is probably maybe the most likely person to be able to do that.
We shall see. We shall see. Hopefully we will hope for the best. Not to be confused with Matt Van Wagenen, who's on the Amazing Race production team.
He's the Survivor executive producer.
Yeah, there you go. I don't really watch the credits. It's just kind of one of those osmosis names.
The question
there.
That we haven't been able to solve is there any relation between Matt Van Wagenen and Brody Van Wagenen?
I'm not sure.
Nobody's been able to tell me. I've been trying to find out. Maybe somebody knows the answer to that question.
Rob, some mysteries are better left mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I'll tell you what. I will do some research and I'll make three movies explaining it in great detail, putting it on AMC.
Three spinoff movies from AJ Mass. Okay.
Hey, just everybody vote. That's all I have to say. Vote.
Okay. All right. So be sure to check out the elections on Tuesday.
Oh, I meant for the Wandoff.
Oh, vote for the Wandoff. Okay. Yes. You don't need to be registered to vote in the Wandoff every week.
No ID.
No provisional ballots needed at the Wanda.
Okay. That's good. That's good.
Yes. All right. AJ Mass, it's a pleasure to catch up, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
As always, as usual, thank you for having me on.
All right, everybody. There you have it. AJ Mass back here on the podcast to talk about the 13 Survivor archetypes. Now, I also wanted to check in today that, you know, we haven't talked any Survivor here on the main podcast feed here with this woman since the preseason. And since we're heading into the merge, I thought it would be a good time to check back in with the first lady of podcasting who is back here in the studio. Please welcome back the amazing Nicole Sesternino. Nicole, how are you?
Oh, what an intro.
Yes, Nicole, so happy to have you back up here on the podcast proper.
Yes, good to be back.
Good to have you here. And of course, now, normally, the patrons of Rob is a podcast here, Nicole, every single week. I'm not sure if a lot of people know that, but one of the perks of being a patron of Rob is a podcast. Probably the best perk is that we have a weekly podcast that I do with Nicole 3 out of 4 weeks of the month. And then on the fourth week, I do a full call-in show with the patrons of Rob is a podcast. That's something that's out there. If anybody is not in the know, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about life in the Survivor season at the Merge. Nicole, first off, how have you been?
I've been good.
You've been good?
Yes.
Everything is going well. You have come through Halloween okay?
Yeah, Halloween's crazy over here.
Halloween is crazy. Do you look forward to Halloween?
I love it. We were literally dragging our children around the neighborhood.
Yeah, our kids are not that fun. You know,
they went like one block and they wanted to quit.
Yeah, no, they were not unlike the Jabini tribe where they're like, oh, this is candy. It's too heavy.
We're like, soak it up. We're going.
Guys, don't quit on me.
Dig deep.
You can do it. That candy is not that heavy.
We got to fill up that bucket.
I just want to go home.
We were literally dragging them.
Yeah, I should have been like Jeff and been like, I know you guys are not quitters. So let's keep trying. No.
They're quitters.
Disappointing showing. Disappointing showing for the kids.
And then we took all their candy.
They would have had, you know, way more candy for us to eat. And that's a disappointment. But Nicole, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on at the Survivor David versus Goliath here at the Merge. So, Nicole, what has been your feeling? Have you enjoyed David versus Goliath? Has it exceeded your expectations, or not lived up to the high bar that you set.
I had very low bar on it.
Low bar.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm liking it. Well, I like the characters.
Yeah, I do think that Survivor has done a good job. And, you know, I think that a lot of the fans, including myself, you know, get on them. Sometimes this is like way too much hyperbole. And I feel like that Jeff also picks weird spots to say, I think that this season coming up is the best one that we've ever done. I think that, and everybody's like, no, wow. I mean, that sounds really good. No hype on this season. And that's really where you want to be. You never want, you always want to, Jeff should come out and say, you know what? This could be the worst one we've ever done. That's, I mean, maybe you don't want to say that because maybe people won't watch it, but it's like, eh.
Like, you want to watch this because this season is so bad.
And he should be like, I mean, we'll see. I wouldn't get your hopes up.
We got a few duds.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't say it's the worst one, but
yeah.
Well, you know, and then people are like, oh my God, wow. Okay. So, and that's where I think that this season has been. So it's been very strong. And then also they didn't overly hype it. So Nicole, do you have any favorite players here in this season? Yes,
I do.
Okay. Well, I'm curious to know, because I don't think I know this off the top of my head. Who is your favorite
player? Who would you think is my favorite player?
Is it Christian?
It is Christian.
Christian. Okay.
I really, really like Christian.
Now, that's interesting to me because I feel like that is not typically your, you know, favorite archetype here as we are following AJ Mass.
They keep you on your toes.
Of the season. Yeah, I feel like that's not typically the character that you root for. I don't remember you talking about Ryan or Cochran as being...
No, it's not. But he's like, there's something about him. He's very sweet.
Can you put your finger on this? Because I feel like that he has been almost, with the exception of Randy, almost universally popular among the guests and a lot of the fans that I've seen. And again, this character does not typically have that type of support.
I think he's very endearing.
Endearing.
The way that he talks is just, you just want to go up and hug him.
I do feel like that he has an earnesty that maybe like the Cochrans and the Ryans did not have.
Totally, totally. And he's entertaining to listen to, just in the manner of how he talks. And then he just seems like a really sweet and kind person.
Yes. Okay.
And he's really funny. And I like how he was talking about, you know, like being like the underdog and not really a bro chacho. And now he is. And it's like he's like become who he wanted to be.
OK, do you like this transformation that he's made to a bro chacho, or do you think that he should be, remain true to himself?
I don't. Don't really be a bro chacho.
So you think that maybe that he would score more points with you if he rejected being a bro chacho?
I think
a bro chacho is not what people should aspire to be, is what you're saying.
I feel like it's like an STD.
STD?
Yeah.
I got bro chacho.
I got the bro chacho.
No, not that. Hey, I'll give you a shot. I'll cure you.
Yeah, use protection, Christian.
Be careful out there. You can, you know, make sure you're upfront with all your partners about bro chacho.
Yeah.
Yes. So you feel like, am I in any danger of becoming a bro chacho?
You?
Yeah.
No.
No, I am not a bro chacho.
No, you use protection.
Okay. All right. Now we're going a little too far.
We're protecting yourself from the bad guys.
It was cute, and now we're, you know, you're in squarely in Dr. Mike territory now. Okay.
No, I think that a lot of us can relate to Christian and, you know, wanting to be with the cool crowd, and then you're finally in the cool crowd, but you're still not quite in the cool crowd, but you're there.
You're not quite in the inner circle.
And that's good. That's a good place to be.
Okay. That's where I tend to be.
No, you're still like,
I'm still out.
You're still knocking on the door.
Still knocking on the door. Like, let me in.
Yeah.
Knock, knock. Okay. So who else have you enjoyed this season?
Obviously everyone loves Natalie.
Natalie.
Although I would hate to be on the island with her.
Natalie.
Yes. Well, you would not have gotten along with Natalie. Or you would have gotten along with Natalie.
I would not have.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that you know what? Yeah, I think you tend to clash with other difficult personalities.
I am difficult.
Yes. Yes. You are basically Napalm Nicole.
Pretty much.
Yes. Who are the types of people that you normally get along with? Do you feel like you get along with people that are like you, or that you get along better with people that are sort of like, don't try to rattle you?
I do not get along with people who are like me. I would not like me.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. But I kind of feel like that some of the people you do get along with are like you.
Really?
I feel like in some ways you're drawn to people that are somewhat like you.
I just like nice people.
Oh, yeah. Nice Nicole. That doesn't have the same ring to it. Okay. So what about the active players in the game? Because we're talking about the people that are here at the merge.
I do like Angelina.
Mm-hmm. By the way, do you think that, Natalie would come here and do a podcast?
No.
Yes.
No.
She would not.
No, she would not.
She would not come up here.
Yeah.
And talk about how she's not impressed. No. I would like her to come up here and like sort of just stand behind me and tell me what to do. Push that button. No, not that one. That one. Mm-hmm. Take that phone call. Take that email. Okay, you're doing it wrong. Let me listen to me. Like I'd like to have her come here and produce the show.
Yeah. Usually I get them before you get them. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that would be fun.
I would love it if Napalm. I would go to her. I would go to her next season.
Yeah.
And go.
Where does she live?
She's in L.A., but I'm not sure.
Oh,
exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. So you said Angelina, you like.
I do like her.
What is it that she's doing that you're liking?
I feel like she's, you know, she's a personality. For
you
sure.
Like the jacket gate.
I did.
That's
yeah.
like something you would do.
Yeah, I would. I was like, what is the big deal? What did she do wrong?
And then try to get their stuff.
She's cold and mm-hmm. uncomfortable. She wants to sleep. I would have done it.
Yeah, so you would do that?
I feel like I was the only one that was like, great move.
So you like that, but yeah. It was a good idea, but it didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Okay. Who else?
Throw out some names.
Okay. The mayor of Slamtown.
You know what? Surprisingly, I like him more than I thought I was going to.
Yes. He's been good?
He's been good.
Okay. But not too much to say about him?
I mean, he just seems different than what I expected him to be.
Yeah, to be honest, he has not really been a big factor in the game so far through the first 6 weeks of the show.
But he seems like a cool person to hang out with.
Yes. I think that we all had low expectations for him. Like, in terms of, like, he'd be a character, but he would be kind of a douche, and he hasn't given us that.
I thought that he was going to be kind of cocky, and he's not.
Okay. What about your winner pick, Dan, for the season? That you picked Dan to win the game way back when.
Uh-huh.
You said that I could not pick him because that was your winner pick.
I did not say such a...
Please, somebody pull the clip. That is exactly what you said. And so what's been your reaction to Dan? Are you still feeling good?
I'm not feeling as good.
Okay.
I mean, he's got two idols. It's just, will he know how to use them?
Mm-hmm. If I gave you a chance to change your winner pick, and I don't think I am, but if I gave you that opportunity, would you use it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you would. So yes. Who would you switch to?
Oh,
I mean, your pick is your pick, but I'm just curious that if you had a chance to take your chip off of Dan, where would you put it?
I feel like I forget who they are sometimes.
That's a problem.
It's a problem with my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking Nick more than I did in the preseason.
Okay, so yes. You move it to Nick?
I don't know if I'd move it to him, but he's gotten more handsome too.
Okay, all right. And you don't get any vampire vibe from Nick.
I could see it. I could see it.
You see it. Okay. What about your colleague, Dr. Allison, as a fellow person in the medical field?
I like her. I don't get winner vibes from her, though.
Okay. Randy said she's the winner.
Well, Randy's wrong.
Okay. What about Gabby?
I like Gabby, but I don't get winner vibes from her.
You don't get winner vibes from her. Okay. Is there anybody from the season that you are really not feeling? You have a least favorite person on the season?
There's no one that I'm like, oh, I can't stand this person, which usually there is.
Usually.
Do you have
usually there's multiple people for you.
Yeah.
No. And there's nobody that's really, rubbing me the wrong way.
Yeah, there's nobody really, really irritating.
Okay. Mike White.
I like him.
You like him?
Yeah.
Have you seen any of his movies?
He seems very, very kind.
Have you seen School of Rock?
I don't know. Have I?
I didn't see it with you. Would you like to watch that movie?
I would like to watch it.
You'd like to watch that movie. What about Davey?
He's okay.
He's okay.
Yeah.
Not doing anything that's really getting you good vibes.
I was feeling bad for Elizabeth.
Yes.
And I didn't like how he was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. You didn't like that his rejection of her idea to take the bed apart. You, mm-hmm. you didn't like this.
And I'm like, oh, hold on, pump the brakes.
You didn't like that.
No.
What about Lyrsa, who just went out?
She seemed okay. I mean, I feel like people liked her a lot more than I did. I was kind of neutral.
Just okay?
I was. Excuse me?
Yeah. Okay. Kind of neutral.
You're kind of neutral box on Lyrsa, unfortunately. Okay, but Elizabeth, you could relate to the fact that she wasn't sleeping well, and then that's a deal breaker.
She did it at one of those Lyrsa beds.
Yes, Lyrsa mattress. Yes. So it's uncomfortable to sleep on the bamboo. Would that be a problem for you to sleep on the bamboo, or you could sleep anywhere?
I could sleep anywhere.
Yeah, it's more the temperature.
I can't sleep when it's hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this is a big fight at my house. How many fans and windows do we have to have open at my house?
First of all, there are no windows open, and there is one fan.
Just like that is on like its highest setting.
And no, it
doesn't matter what the temperature is.
It starts low and then just gets higher and
just higher and higher throughout the night. Mm-hmm. It's really, not fun. And not fun. What are you going to do? It's just that I have to remind myself that small price to pay for a wonderful spouse.
Can I get that in writing?
Yes. Yes. All right. I'm going to ask Nicole also about her feelings about daylight savings time. But let me just quickly thank one of our other sponsors. And those are friends over at betonline.ag, who are putting together the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge. Nicole, how closely have you been following this? Very closely, right?
Well, I did see your trash talking video.
Yeah, that didn't go so great when I thought that Ross Tucker was a fool for picking against the Jets, and a weekly reminder that I'm the fool for rooting for the Jets. But I'm very happy to say that I did go 5 for 5 again in week number 9. The only problem is I think a lot of people went 5 for 5 in week 9. Apparently week 9 was not a tough week to pick the football games, but I don't lose any ground here as I am chasing the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge Championship. And if I am the winner, then $5,000 to the charity of my choice.
Oh,
yeah, charity. Relax. Not $5,000 to you.
You did kind of point at me.
No, even better, $5,000 to the charity of my choice.
What is your choice?
The St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital.
Good
yes,
charity.
Yes, I feel like that it is would be a nice thing for me to raise some money for the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Of course, you can get in on all the action, betonline.ag. They will be putting $100 in the BetOnline accounts of 5 lucky listeners. You have to just tweet out your betonline.ag account number and then also hashtag Sportsnet Challenge. Check out everything that's going on betonline.ag. We're reaching the midway point in the NFL. College football season is here as well. In the NFL, the Rams and Saints just did battle. The Chiefs and Patriots are emerging as top teams. Of course, Carolina, Pittsburgh, Chargers are all playing well in college football. Alabama, clearly the best team in the country. You'd agree with that, right, Nicole?
I definitely would.
Of course, Notre Dame, Clemson, UCF, all top teams in the top 10. There's only one place to get in on all the action, betonline.ag. Don't wait any longer. Use promo code podcast1 to get that 50% sign-up bonus. That's podcast1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. NBA with Milwaukee and Toronto are the defending champion Golden State Warriors, all starting off on a high note. And in NHL, Nicole's favorite, Nashville, Toronto, Pittsburgh, got hot starts going on. Could melt the ice with the hot starts. Don't miss out on any of the action. BetOnline.ag, promo code podcast1 for that 50% sign-up bonus. Your online sportsbook experts and exclusive partner of the Podcast One Sportsnet and the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge. Nicole, I know this was also a rough weekend for you because of the daylight savings time.
Yeah, this daylight savings is a load of crap.
I mentioned it with AJ Mass.
It's not, daylight savings is actually over.
Yes. Okay. For all of the
sticklers.
Daylight savings time is over. And so we are just getting started with the nightmare that is turning the clocks back an hour. It's so terrible for a number of reasons. I used to like it. Used to be like, hey, the bar doesn't close at 2 tonight. The bar really closes at 3. Now it's instead of get an hour extra hour of sleep, it means that my kids will be up an extra hour early.
And Anthony was up at 4:15 this morning. 4:15.
Yes.
And as a nurse working the night shift, it really sucks.
No, it's really terrible because now where that normally this kid wakes up at 5:45 in the morning. Now he's up at what's really 4:45 in the morning.
And they can't stay up until like the new, you know, bedtime. And they're acting like little not so nice people.
Right. And then frickin' Nicole put them to bed last night and that they don't.
They were like Weekend at Bernie's. They couldn't keep their eyes open.
So Nicole put them to bed at like 6 o'clock last night. And then
it was 6:30.
Right. And so that they can't tell time. So, Nicole, can you explain the alarm clock situation?
So we use a ready to wake clock because those little.
Explain what that is.
I will. Yes. They are, they do not have my sleeping genes.
Mm-hmm.
And they wake up at the butt crack of dawn. And we are at the point where it's like, if you want to be awake, just don't bother us. So we have this alarm clock that when the light is red, you stay in bed and you can't be seen until the light turns green.
So you put them to bed. It's red light up until it turns green. But Nicole did not bother setting the alarm clocks back an hour. So lights turned green at like 5 a.m. this morning.
And I was yelling at him to get back in bed, not realizing.
Yes.
And he's like, but the light's green.
Right. So that it was like you can't tell them. Okay, and Nicole tried to then turn the clock back an hour after it already turned green.
And I was like, the light's red. See?
Yeah, that Captain Loophole is not going to fall for that one.
Yes.
So
if you need a reason to vote this year, the California election actually.
Oh, I didn't know that this was going to turn political.
Yes, because you should be voting anyway.
Yeah.
But if you need more of a reason, the California ballot, you can vote against daylight savings time.
Okay, so
get out and vote, people.
Nicole is saying that the problem with these ballot propositions that I never know if because sometimes you vote no for something and vote no means really yes. Like you are voting to end a ban on something. So,
well, that's why you have to educate yourself before you go.
The political system is broken. I don't know that there's no, you know, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. This is, you know, not a politics podcast, but very.
Yes.
I believe this is a California Proposition 7 permanent daylight savings time measure. Yes, whatever it is, but you don't have to change the clock.
Vote yes.
But I also hate it when it gets dark at 4 o'clock at night. So
But if you keep daylight savings, it's going to stay lighter later.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, because daylight savings is over, and that's when it gets darker earlier. But it gets lighter earlier.
I don't know.
You're dumb.
I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Vote yes.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right. Nicole, anything else?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right. Nicole, thank you for being here with us on the podcast. Always a
treat.
This
is my quiet time when both the kids are in school and he's pulled me out of my quiet time.
I mean, this was fun. I think people, if anybody that's still listening, I think they probably enjoyed hearing from you.
Are you putting this at the end?
Yeah.
I should be in the beginning.
What are you, you're an opener?
Yes.
You want AJ Mass at the end?
I think I deserve to be in the beginning.
Look, you'll be in the beginning of plenty of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll have a
I'm going to pull a Randy and I'm going to say, you know what?
Hey, listen, keep your ego in check, Nicole.
No, my ego's pretty big.
All right. And look, anytime you want to come back, you want to co-host a podcast with me, we're happy to have you.
Co-hosting a podcast with you isn't fun because you're a mic hog.
Look, if there is a subject matter, if you want to take the lead on the Survivor podcast and host the show and I'll be the co-host, I'm happy to do that.
Yes, that okay? is what I want.
Look, that's what you tell me, the guest. You tell me who to book. You sit in this chair. You host the show.
Do you even have to be there?
I mean, you're going to host the podcast without me. What am I going to do?
Watch the kids.
Go watch the kids. Look, if that's something that people want, I mean, we are, again, with like I was saying with Allie Lasher, we're going into year 9 of the podcast. Whatever it takes to keep the podcast fresh, I'm willing to do it. If that's what people would like, I'm happy here. But just be ready, you know, that the Twitter people are, you know, those bees are buzzing.
Yeah, I'm not a good host. I'm just the person.
Don't sell yourself short. But look, when you get something wrong, then
which will be the whole podcast.
Don't think that they're, well, actually, these people are not going to be coming for you. Mm-hmm. and your wig.
My
it's an
incredible wig?
It's an expression. Yeah. Okay. All right. Of course, you can hear Nicole every single week on the Patreon 5 for 5. We'll be back recording on Tuesday night this week. So be on the lookout for that, patrons. Next up, of course, News AF. May have another bonus podcast for you guys this week as well.
Ooh, la, la.
So be on the lookout for that. And then coming up this week, Survivor Know-It-Alls back live this week. Did you like Survivor Know-It-Alls this week, Nicole?
It was really good.
Yes. Yeah. Did you that a lot of people liked my Mr. Incredible costume?
You look really hot in it.
Whoa. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, incredible costume makers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yeah. I felt like a real brochacho as Mr. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will have Kellen Bechtold on the recap podcast, and then the Mayo of Slamtown, Nick Majorano. And then also one other note to our patrons that Nicole threw me the 40th birthday party extravaganza a couple of weeks ago. And that was fully documented in our Rehapisodes. And it will be a 40th birthday party coming to the Rehapisodes very soon.
When is that dropping?
I think I'm going to drop that Tuesday morning. So be on the lookout for that as well. All right. Nicole, thank you again so much. Everybody, thanks so much to AJ Mass, Scott St. Pierre, who is doing the editing on this one, and all of you guys. We'll be back again soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye, guys.